So I just don't see how right now I can sit here and say Bobby Witt Jr. is the best shortstop in baseball when you have a guy that was the best shortstop in baseball last year, still doing best shortstop in baseball kind of things.
Yeah.
And won a World Series. It's just, I can't possibly say that.
Fly ball onto the track, at the wall, it's gone! Home run!
Turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone!
What a game, what a moment. What is up, my friends? Welcome into Flippin' Bats, where we have a lot to talk about because it is Monday, and a lot has happened in the baseball world. But Monday means we get power rankings, a new updated top 10 power rankings in the game of baseball. We get Team of the Week, Player of the Week. We have Overreaction Monday, where we're going to talk best rivalries in the game of baseball. We'll talk about the NL Central, and we'll talk who's the top shortstop in the game of baseball currently. So make sure you're subscribed, following wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and make sure you follow us on TikTok because we're trying to get close. We're trying to get to 100,000 followers, and we're getting closer and closer. So follow us there. Alex, it's Monday. You remember we used to do... We should bring it back.
Yeah.
Mostly because my mom is really, really Ooh. Wanting it back. But Mondays with Mom,
yeah,
she really wants it
we
back.
We need to bring it back. I miss Mama Verlander.
Well, I'll just tell you one thing she said this week. Remember how last episode I said we were talking.
You used a lot of curse words last episode.
No, she didn't mind.
Okay.
But you know what she did mind?
All right. What?
Remember I said everyone remembers where they were when Steven Strasburg made his debut? And I said, I was at
and
Beach
you were
Week.
Drinking.
I had my first ever sip of alcohol.
She just find this
she
out?
She texts me and goes, you drank at Beach Week?
Yes, Mom. I drank at Beach Week. Oh, I love that. We need to bring her back. When are they coming back to town? I haven't seen them in a couple months.
I don't know. Hadn't been since my birthday.
Yeah.
January.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Do you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. What did I do? I went bowling Saturday.
Wow.
Well, Saturday night bowling.
Huh.
Crushed it.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love rainy days. Like, because we don't get them often here in LA. And we've already had, Dodgers had two rain delays this weekend
tonight.
In this series. Yeah. Sunday night. Like, everything. So I love a good, stay inside rainy day when there's a lot going on. And we had so much going on this weekend, from the Masters to epic baseball rivalry series that we got to see. I was dancing in my living room to the live stream of Coachella, which
in my living room to the live stream of Coachella.
Were you really? Oh, okay. I was like, come on. I used to go. I was like a full, that was like favorite weekend of the year kind of person. And then it just turned into a completely different festival. But yeah.
There's no way to say this without it coming off as a brag, but I'm going to say it because it is really cool.
Yeah.
It is really, really cool to watch the Masters having just played Augusta 2 months ago.
Insane.
Like, it changes everything.
Insane.
I'll see every shot and be like, I remember what I did here. I had an eagle putt here. I shanked this one here.
Uh-huh.
all over the place.
No,
but it is really, really cool.
That's what I was trying to tell you when you were going to play. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
For sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. But guys, it's Monday. So let's dive right into Overreaction Monday. If you are new to this segment, I'm going to give Ben a strong statement. He's going to tell me if it's an overreaction or not.
Okay.
So let's get started with one of the series we had this weekend. The Astros and the Rangers are currently the best rivalry in baseball.
I'm going to be honest.
Hmm.
Experiencing that series, 7 games during the ALCS last year.
Epic.
It feels like it is currently the best rivalry in baseball. So I'm going to say that this is not an overreaction. The current biggest and best rivalry in the game of baseball comes from the state of Texas. I will absolutely say that is the Astros and the Rangers. I mean, to answer this question properly, you got to dive into who else would be on this list. So, and baseball rivalries start with the conversation of the Red Sox and the Yankees. Historically, the greatest rivalry in baseball and potentially the greatest rivalry in sports is the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Just
it's a
history.
Classic. But unfortunately, over the last, it feels like decade or so, it feels like one or the other. Like either the Yankees are playing well or the Red Sox are playing well, and it just doesn't have that same feel to it right now. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, on that same historical context is the Dodgers and the Giants. But it's sort of the same conversation there. And then you've had the Dodgers dominating the NL West for a decade.
Yeah.
And then there was the one year where the Giants, you know, they were back and forth in that division, and then they ended up playing, and over both of them won over 100 games. But again, that sort of just feels like and over the course of history, I would take the Dodgers and the Giants rivalry over the Astros and the Rangers. More current, you get the Dodgers and the Padres. That's a newer one. And then the Braves-Phillies I would throw in there as well.
Ooh, Braves-Phillies is a good one.
But I just think because of, I don't know this point last year if I would say yes to this. I probably wouldn't have.
No.
It was everything that transpired. It was the regular season they had where it got really heated at times. And then the playoffs where Adolis Garcia got hit and then the benches cleared in the ALCS. And then he went off. And now you can just feel, it just feels like there's tension every time they
there
play.
There is.
And that's what makes a rivalry, is feeling the tension. And I feel it with this. I feel it with these two teams. I feel it every time they take the field. I felt it in the regular season last year, in the ALCS for 7 games, and now this year. You got Kyle Tucker never flips his bat. You got him out there hitting homers, flipping his bat. That was awesome to see. So I'm going to say this is not an overreaction. This is the best current rivalry in the game of baseball. That bat flip was awesome.
Yeah, and I think it all comes down to what happened in the playoffs. Because if the Rangers didn't knock out the Astros to get to the World Series, we're not talking about this rivalry right now, because the Astros had basically owned the AL West for the better part of a decade. But the Rangers, they've arrived. Like, they're here.
Yeah.
They not, as you said last year, like, I'll say they're here once they knock out the Astros in the postseason. And they did. And right now, to start the season, Rangers are in first place. Another thing I did not have on my bingo card is the Astros in last place in the AL West right now, with your favorite team, the Oakland A's, in third. So it's just because there is that dynamic of they knocked them out, kind of like taking over their reign. Right now, I would say Astros, Rangers, and Phillies, Braves are probably the best two rivalries.
It's the same thing. I think we had this conversation 2 years ago on this show. I was talking best rivalries currently in the game of baseball, and I said Dodgers, Padres was becoming that.
Yeah.
But here's where that's different. That year, that was the blossoming of that rivalry.
Yeah.
And then the Padres knock them out in the playoffs. But then the following year, you had one of the biggest disappointments of a season in the history of baseball for the Padres.
Yep.
And that rivalry just kind of loses its steam. Here, you have the Astros being the Astros for the better part of a decade. You have an interdivision rival as well. They finally beat them in the playoffs, and then they go on to win the World Series.
Yep.
And now we're in that following year in which that tension is still there. Both teams are still really good.
Yeah.
So I do. I think currently this is the best rivalry in the game of baseball.
Yeah. I think also, like, having a best rivalry, as you mentioned, like, the teams have to be great. Both these teams have won World Series very recently. And I think that's also what makes it such an exciting rivalry. But let's move on to our next overreaction. Bobby Witt Jr. is the best shortstop in baseball.
Ooh. Bobby Witt Jr., friend of the pod, love the guy. And he has become, right in front of everybody's eyes, an absolute superstar in this game. He has become elite at every single facet of the game. Hitting, defense, speed. He's the fastest guy in baseball, if not the fastest, top two or three. He's right there. He's this year hitting .333 with 4 homers, 8 RBIs, 3 stolen bases, and an OPS over 1,000 on the year. But I cannot yet take Bobby Witt Jr. over a guy like Corey Seager, who hit .327 on the year last year, with 33 homers while missing a good chunk of the season, came in second in the MVP voting behind a guy named Shohei Ohtani, and went on to win the World Series and win World Series MVP. He's still a really good shortstop in this game. So I just don't see how right now I can sit here and say Bobby Witt Jr. is the best shortstop in baseball when you have a guy that was the best shortstop in baseball last year, still doing best shortstop in baseball kind of things.
Yeah.
And won a World Series. It's just, I can't possibly say that. Do I think Bobby Witt Jr. will ultimately at some point in his career be the best shortstop in the game? I do. And I think that time could come shorter. That could come sooner than later. It could happen by the end of this year, but I can't say it right now. The teams matter as well. I think if you have two players, and I'm not saying that I'm choosing Corey Seager because he's on a better team, because
I mean, he was the World Series MVP.
And
like, yeah.
How about the Royals? Might I say?
Yeah, no, it hurts.
But if it's a, let's even say it was a toss up,
yeah,
then you're going to take the guy that's World Series MVP.
Yeah.
But I don't yet think it is a toss up. I think he is a blossoming star. I think his potential, I think Bobby Witt Jr.'s potential could be greater than that of Corey Seager, which is quite the statement to make. I think he could be an all-time great. I mean, he does everything. He can hit for power. He can steal you 40 bags. He can do everything. But right now, I think this would be, this is an overreaction. Corey Seager is currently the best shortstop in the game.
I mean, he's got plenty of time. He's 23 years old. Bobby Witt Jr. is 23 years old. And as you mentioned, the team matters. And I think if he's going to get there, either as we saw this offseason, the Royals are trying to do that. They're in that kind of rebuild, get to that next level, back to that World Series caliber team that they were years ago. But there's also this kind of new wave of young shortstops right now, because this week alone, we're going to talk about him in a bit, but Ellie De La Cruz has been absolutely going off. He's 22 years old. So you have these like two really young, outstanding guys that are definitely stealing the spotlight right now. But you also have some of the best players in the game that are shortstop. Mookie Betts is playing shortstops right now. He's still kind of all over the field, but when you have top guys like that on better teams with more experience right now, I think that's going to take it over.
It's weird. It does start to feel like this is the year of like the passing of the baton at shortstop in terms of the shortstops, and Corey Seager is still great. And I did just say he's still the best shortstop in the game, but the shortstops, if you look back just a couple years ago or even a few years ago and say who were the best shortstops in the game, you're going to name guys like Corey Seager and Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa. And it sort of feels like those guys are maybe, besides Seager, Lindor certainly a bit of a step down. Correa's having a good year. Last year wasn't great, but it's kind of regardless of the point. I'm not so much saying regression on that end as we're getting the opposite end of regression with these new guys, the Bobby Witts, the Ellie De La Cruzes of the world, and just seeing like this is the new wave of shortstop. And it reminds me of back when you grow up playing Little League, you put the best athlete on the field at shortstop. And that's what we're seeing with Bobby Witt Jr. That's what we're seeing with Ellie De La Cruz. These are the best athletes on the field. They're the fastest guys out there. They can hit for power.
Yeah.
They can hit for average. They can steal bases. They can play good defense. They do it all. So this new wave of shortstops in baseball is something that gets me very, very excited for
sure. The future is bright for these young stars. But speaking of Ellie, kind of leads us into our next overreaction. The NL Central is the best division in the league.
The NL Central is the best division in baseball. I'm gonna say that is an overreaction. But I will change the statement.
Okay.
And if that were allowed, I would have said that is not an overreaction. The NL Central is the most competitive division in baseball. And I think we could look up at the end of the year and say that same thing, that the NL Central ended up being the most competitive division in all of baseball, where every single team, top to bottom, was within reach with a week to go in the year. You currently have the Brewers, who are 10-4. You have the Pirates, who are 11-5. The Cubs at 9-6, the Reds at 9-6, and then the Cardinals being the one team below 500 at 7-9.
Not by much.
So this division, and I could see this saying the same way a little back and forth all year long. All of these teams are good.
Yeah.
But why I think it's an overreaction to say this is the best division in baseball is because I think all of these teams are good, not great. Okay. And I think if you look at a division like the AL East that has the Orioles that are great,
yeah.
the Yankees that are great, the Blue Jays that are good, the Rays that are good, and the Red Sox, they're the Red Sox. You have
every team's 500 or above.
Right. The only division in baseball that has that. I don't expect that to be the case with the Red Sox all year long. But even excluding them, you have two teams that I expect to compete for a division title and a World Series, and the Orioles and the Yankees there. And then you have the Jays and Rays, who are both good baseball teams. So I just think that the talent and the top end of the scale is better in the AL East. That's why I would take that division for being the best in baseball. But I do think the NL Central will be the most competitive top to bottom.
That's fair.
Is it? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. Now, even though you don't think they're the best division in baseball, you have most of them in our next segment.
There's going to be a few.
Ben. So let's get to this week's power rankings. Got a lot of new faces up in here this week. So let's get started at number 10, making their debut, the Royals.
Not just their debut, Alex. The debut in the history of Flippin' Bats.
Whoa.
The Kansas City Royals have made the power rankings here at number 10. They're 10-6, led by Bobby Witt Jr. You got Vinny P, pride of Old Dominion, over at first base. This is just a team that we talked a lot about this offseason. And every time I was asked who had the best offseason in baseball, I would say the teams that certainly are up there and the Yankees and the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. But every single time I would make a point to mention the Kansas City Royals and how much better they got. And they're showing that. They are a fun team to watch. And if they can pitch even somewhat average, they have a team that is capable of putting up some runs. So I like them a lot. Do I expect this pace, 10-6? I don't know what that ends up being over the course of 162, but do I expect that to keep up all year long? I don't, but I do expect them to be a competitive team all year long, and absolutely right now they are worthy of being in the top 10 of these power rankings, and producer Fran is going to be just absolutely thrilled about that.
Well, and if they can keep this up, I mean, they're in the weakest division in the league. Like, they could, and have an opportunity to possibly take the AL Central.
Show some respect to the Tigers, please.
Oh, come on. You didn't mean that. You know they're still a year or two away.
Scrappy bunch.
Okay, let's move on to number 9. Also not ranked last week, the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubbies are 9-6. They're the first of the NL Central teams that we got coming up. How many will there be? Will there be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? We'll find out. But the Cubs have been playing good baseball as well. Michael Bush, the big addition from in that trade with the Dodgers, 4 consecutive games with a homer. He's been huge in that lineup for them. So they just did enough, in my opinion, to take a little bit of a step forward from where they were last year. Shota Imanaga has been filthy. The guy's nasty. Cody Bellinger back in that lineup was a necessity for them. You add in Michael Bush, then all of a sudden you have a lineup that's capable of doing some damage and some pitchers. This is without Justin Steele, healthy right now.
Huge.
Some pitchers that are doing good jobs. So Cubs come in at 9.
Okay, at number 8, another NL Central team that was not ranked last week, the Reds.
How about those Reds, baby? They're 9-6. I couldn't have talked more about them coming into this year. I still feel very good about my prediction of them winning the NL Central. There are plenty of other good teams in the NL Central ahead of them right now, but they've done nothing besides get injured to make me waver at all from where I was when I made that prediction. And it does suck the injuries that have come up for them. But now you add Nick Lodolo back to that rotation. That's what made me so excited about this team was the rotation with Frankie Montas, Hunter Green. You got Ashcraft, you got Martinez, and you have a guy like Nick Lodolo, who I loved, who was going to miss a bit of the beginning of the year, came back, punched out 10 guys in his season debut. He looks really good. So yeah, the Reds are 9-6, sitting pretty in the NL Central, although it's mid-April, but they're in a good spot.
Yeah. Okay, number 7, same spot as last week, the Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians, no movement. They're good, 10-5. Yeah, they just keep Josh Naylor had a fantastic week. They got some really, really bad news with Shane Bieber. That's going to be a big blow to them this year. It really, really is. But they're playing good baseball as of now. So I just kept them put, didn't move them up, didn't move them down.
At number six, your third NL Central team up two spots, the Pirates.
11-5. The Buccos are hot. I really do. This team is fun. I love all I wanted to see for the last 2 years was a healthy left side of the infield for the Pittsburgh Pirates. O'Neill Cruz, Ke'Bryan Hayes on the left side, and just see what they're capable of doing. And it really is a lot of fun to watch them play baseball. The Pirates are playing really well. By the way, shout out to Paul Skenes down there in the minor leagues, averaging over 100 miles an hour on his fastball. It is ridiculous. But I do want to, maybe we'll dive into that in a future episode. But okay. I do understand why he's in the minor leagues. And I keep seeing a lot of talk of why Paul Skenes, what's happening? Call him up. We'll do that soon. We'll have a Paul Skenes talk. But you got Andrew McCutchen still on the team, the savvy vet of the team, just hitting his 300th career homer over the weekend. I'd love to see that out of him in the black and gold. Andrew McCutchen was born to play baseball in Pittsburgh, so he's been quite the journeyman over the last few years, 5 years or so. To see him back there doing it is really cool.
All right, now heading into your top five, at number five, up four spots, the biggest jump of the week, and also your fourth NL Central team in this power ranking, the Brewers.
I will say it again and again, hand up, I missed on the Brewers.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did have them as a bottom team in baseball. I believe I had them in last place in the NL Central. And they've been fun. And I'm not saying hand up, I missed on them because they're 10-4 and in my power rankings right now. I think as a whole, I was wrong on the team. I don't think they're going to finish the division in last place. I was worried and concerned about the pitching and the lack of offense, but their young guy, Jackson Churio, Rhys Hoskins over at first base, Christian Yelich, back. He's back. Mm. So it's just this lineup is doing enough, and you got Willie Adames there at shortstop, able to hit a bunch of homers. So this lineup is now more balanced. I just think with Churio in there, he adds a different dynamic to the team. It's not just this sort of feast or famine that it felt like they had over the last few years with guys like Adames and like a Rowdy Tellez and, you know, those sort of guys and Christian Yelich not being quite as good. This team just feels different, and you got Freddie Peralta, who's more than serviceable ace of a staff. He's great. So back into the rotation is still a bit of a concern for me, but regardless, I do believe by and large, I missed on how good or how much better they would be than I thought. So the Brewers come in at number five.
At number four, up one spot, the Orioles.
Yes, the Orioles are, I don't want to say firing on all cylinders right now. They're 9-6.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday, shout out Jackson Holliday, got his first hit of his career on Sunday. First of
many.
And to get that first one out of the way, that can pile up on you quick. And it started to pile up on him a little bit. He had a bunch of offers in there. But once you go one day without getting a hit, you take that back to your house or to the hotel with you. And then it sits with you, and then you have another offer, and then it really sits with you, and it just starts piling and piling and piling until you get that first one out of the way. He did it. Now he's going to be off and running. Colton Cowser. It's the young guys for this Orioles team that really, really excite me. So Orioles come in at number four. They are 9-6.
All right, moving into the top three. Lots of movement here. Down two spots and their first time not in first place this season. The Braves.
Braves are 9-5. Good. They're just not dominating right now. You still have Ronald Acuna Jr. without a homer, which is perplexing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, they've been fine. I am Spencer Strider, Tommy John.
It's heartbreaking.
Sucks.
Heartbreaking.
Absolutely sucks. So no, I didn't move the Braves down because Spencer Strider's not going to pitch this year.
Yeah.
But that is going to be a big blow for them. And I just moved them down a bit because they're not really dominating right now. They're a good team. Mm-hmm. They're winning series. They're winning baseball games, but it's not quite as dominant as the two teams that I have above them.
At number two, moving up one spot, the Yankees.
Yep, the Yankees are now at number two. I moved them up fairly early on to number three. I was just really high on this Yankees team, higher than many people in the public realm that aren't Yankees fans because, well, okay, yeah, you add Juan Soto, but they did a lot more that I thought added to this team and their dynamic. I think Alex Verdugo is a lot of fun to watch for them. Marcus Stroman in that rotation has been huge. Carlos Rodon, they're sitting here at 12-4 without the best pitcher in baseball. It's a lot of fun to watch them. The addition to Juan Soto in that lineup feels like more than just adding one player to the lineup. It changes the entire feel of that lineup, not just having to circle Aaron Judge and say, this guy can't hurt us. Now it becomes a whole new problem of there's these two guys, they hit back-to-back in the lineup, and they're a really big problem. So it is a totally new feel to this Yankees team. So move them up to three early, move them up to two right now, and I do believe right now they're the second-best team in baseball.
Ha. And at number one, up one spot, where they belong, the Dodgers.
Where they currently belong, the Los Angeles Dodgers. At 11-6, that top of the lineup. Again, 11-6, everybody knows, hopefully, by now we record on Sunday evenings during the Sunday night baseball game. You got the Dodgers and the Padres currently playing on Sunday night baseball.
And it got delayed. So normally it would be done by now, but
there was a delay.
Rain delay.
That the cards will fall where they may there. But before this game, they were 11-6. Doesn't really matter to me whether they win or lose it. They have been, they've deserved this top spot now. Mm-hmm. The Braves with a bit of a, not just quite as dominant, but that lineup, it really is just fun to turn on the TV. It's must watch television.
It is.
If you know the Dodgers game is about to start, sit your butt down for 10 minutes and watch the first three guys in that lineup hit, and then come back when they're about to hit again. I mean, it's just, if you're a fan of the game of baseball, you're a fan of those three guys at the top of the lineup. It really is historic. It feels historic to watch them hit back to back to back. And this team is a lot of fun to watch. They're 11-6 and coming in at number one. Top 10.
Yeah.
You got the Royals, the Cubs, the Reds, the Guardians, the Pirates, the Brewers, just as we all thought.
I'm 10 just through like, you're six. Like 6 through 10.
Just
like
as
what?
We all
Even like
imagined.
5 through 10.
Yep, and then you got the Orioles, Braves, Yankees, Dodgers rounding out
good for
the
them.
Top 10. So a lot of movement. Again, it's early in the year, so there's always going to be a little more movement back and forth and teams scooting in and teams scooting out. Like right now, I'm very high on the Phillies this year. Phillies are out right now.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 800. They're 8-8. Same sort of thing with the Rangers. The Rangers are 8-8. They're out of the top 10 right now. They're not playing. They go into Houston and lose a series there. So they're just not playing great. And these teams are deserving of being in the top 10. And it's early in the year. If there's ever a time to have them in, it's right now. They are deserving of it. So the top 10 might look weird, but it's not what it's going to look like at the end of the year. But it's April 15th and these are the top 10 teams in baseball.
You don't need to defend it. This felt right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel good about that. Confident.
I do.
And strong.
Yeah. I feel like when power rankings come out, a lot of people, a lot of the different platforms that do them hold on a lot of weight to what we think teams are.
Yeah.
And I do to a degree. But there's also a degree of like, well, these teams right now are playing like a top team in the game of baseball.
Yeah.
Do I think the Rangers are ultimately a top 10 team in baseball? Absolutely.
Yes, but not
Do
this
I
week.
Think the Phillies are? Do I think the Astros are? Absolutely. All of them. But none of them are deserving of being in the top 10. The Astros are probably more deserving of being in the bottom 10 right now. But here we are. It's April 15th, and the top 10 is fun to look at. It really is
cool.
Yeah,
no, that was funny. But now let's talk about the top players of the week, because it is time for team of the week. And we're going to get started behind the plate, William Contreras.
Yeah, William Contreras has been on an absolute tear for the Brewers. Most of the Brewers team has, to be honest.
Yeah.
But he had 423 with three homers, 11 RBIs, and a 1.308 OPS on the week. A week that goes from April 7th to April 13th. So everyone remember, it's Sunday through Saturday. William Contreras, catcher.
At first base, Josh Naylor.
Yeah, the Guardians have just been playing. Again, they're 10-5 on the year. The Guardians have been playing really well. And Josh Naylor is a massive part of that. Yeah. Look at these numbers on the week. 467 average, three homers. He's slugged over 1,100 and an OPS on the week of 1.752.
Beast mode.
Yeah.
Second base, Ozzy Albies.
Yep. Love me some Ozzy. Ozzy's a lot of fun to watch, but he does it all at the second base position. Hit 400, four doubles, an OPS over 1,000 on the week. And he's been huge for that Braves team. He really is. He's one of the most underrated second basemen in the game of baseball, I think. Just his ability to do everything from both sides of the plate, play good defense, steal a bunch of bases. But he's on my team of the week this week.
Over to third base, Jordan Westberg.
Yeah, just another one of those young mm-hmm. Orioles names that, you know, I feel like when you talk young Orioles, a lot of people just go to Jackson Holliday and Adley, but that's just the beginning of the conversation. Jordan Westberg hit 316, two homers, five RBIs, and an OPS over 1,000. Hit a massive clutch homer in Fenway over the very, like, center field corner of the monster. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute rocket to center and clutch time in the game to win them the ball game. So Jordan Westberg, my third baseman.
All right, moving on to shortstop. Another young star who went absolutely nuts this week, Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, this just brings my heart joy.
Yeah,
it does. It just, I'm so high on the Reds joy this year. And a big part of that was Ellie taking a massive step forward. Let's not forget, he was the top prospect in the game of baseball for a reason, and he hit at every single level of the minor leagues and then gets called up to the big leagues and steals a bunch of bases, then goes through a bit of a struggle offensively, and all of a sudden it's like, well, this guy can't hit in the big leagues. Give me a break. The guy's still young. He rakes, and now it just feels like in his first full season in baseball, he's putting it all together when the Reds really need him to. He had 400 on the week with four homers. He had 21 total bases on the week and an OPS of 1.550. He's my shortstop.
All right, we're moving to the outfield. And remember, these are just top three outfielders for the week, not necessarily by position or in any specific order. So let's get started with another Orioles young star, Colton Kauser.
Again, another one.
Yeah.
They just keep turning them out, and they have a million more in the minor leagues.
It's incredible.
Colton Kauser, outfielder, first of three on team of the week. 450 average, three homers, 11 RBIs, 1,100 slugging percentage on the week.
Second outfielder, Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, still good at baseball.
He's
in
back,
case
baby.
Anyone was wondering. Still one of the best in baseball, still an all-time great, mm-hmm. 348. On the week, three homers, 20 total bases, and an OPS just south of 1,300.
All right, and wrapping up the final outfielder, the new star in New York, Juan Soto.
Yeah, Juan Soto's having an unbelievable start to the season. 333 average on the week, two homers, nine RBIs, an OPS of 1.197. Who knows? Like, this is where it makes this Yankees team different, is if the Yankees had the same lineup as last year and had Aaron Judge doing what he's been doing to start the year, they'd be in a hot mess. But Aaron Judge is not playing great baseball to start the year. Starting to get a little bit better, but it just doesn't feel any longer like the Yankees go as Aaron Judge goes. Because you also have another one of the best hitters in the game of baseball in Juan Soto, and he's right now carrying that lineup and that team. So he's my third of three outfielders.
All right, moving on to the designated hitter, your guy, Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, Yordan is, man, every time I watch that guy play baseball, I just think it is hard to not say that he's, if not the best hitter in the game of baseball, he's a top three guy.
But
I would, if somebody were to ask me right now, best hitter in the game, go. I think I say Yordan Alvarez. The clutch factor, the power, the average, 440 on the week, another two homers, nine RBIs, over 1,300 OPS. Yordan is an absolute beast. He is my DH.
All right, starting pitcher of the week, Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, he just doesn't is off to a fantastic start to the year. 3-0 through seven innings and his one start on the week. Didn't give up a run. Punched out 14 guys in seven innings.
So good.
Only gave up three hits, not a single walk. 14 punch outs, not a single walk. That is dominance. And that is certainly worthy of my starting pitcher on Team of the Week.
Was he both of our Cy Young predictions beginning of the season?
I had Spencer Strider. I don't think that's going to come true.
Yeah, no.
I'm a little worried about that.
Okay,
one.
Bye. Okay. Wrapping things up with relief pitcher of the week, Kyle Finnegan.
Yeah. How about Kyle Finnegan and the Nats?
Yeah.
Three saves, 3 2/3 innings pitched, not a single earned run. Those are pretty good stats.
Nats were winning some ball games.
Kyle Finnegan's been a pretty good closer for a little while now for the Nats, but the problem is they don't win enough ball games. If they're winning ball games during the course of a week, he absolutely could be here multiple times, but I don't feel great about their chances of winning most ball games. But this week, they won enough to get him three saves, and he closes out my team of the week. So going around the field, that's William Contreras behind the plate, Josh Naylor at first, Ozzy Albies at second, Jordan Westberg at third, Ellie De La Cruz at shortstop, Colton Cowser in left, Mike Trout in center. Again, these are just three outfielders. Colton Cowser, Mike Trout, and Juan Soto are my three outfielders. Yordan Alvarez is my DH. Tyler Glass now on the mound, and Kyle Finnegan rounding that out as my closer. So, Alex, that leaves one name left.
And he's on your shirt. I just
my
noticed.
Player of the week.
Showed up.
Ellie De La Cruz, baby. Look at this shirt.
I just noticed what that was. I was like, because it's an AC/DC impersonation shirt. And I was like, what? I've been staring at it the whole show.
E-D-L-C.
And then I just saw the bottom, Ellie De La Cruz. Let's go. That's sick.
It is. It really is cool. Shout out Breaking Tea for the shirt. I love it. And yeah, I mean, what more do you need to say about the guy? He's been electric. Yep. 400 average on the week. Four home runs, an OPS over 1,500. I love every single story or thing that has happened with Ellie this year has been awesome. His commitment to learning English and to doing interviews in English and the emotion he shows doing them in English and his ability to hit 450-foot homers, which he did this week, and then hit another homer in the same game that was an inside-the-park homer.
Love it.
He just, it is so much fun watching him play baseball. He's been huge for that team. He's great for the game of baseball. I love it. Absolutely love being able to say that Ellie De La Cruz is my player of the week, leading to Alex's player of the week. Who you got?
My player of the week is also Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, he was hands down the best player in baseball this week. And he hit the ground running after that solar eclipse on Monday. That's where he hit the two home runs, including his first ever inside the park home run. That was just so impressive to see how fast he is around the base path. But we knew it was a matter of time before he got hot, and this week was it. And hopefully this is what can help propel the Reds back to the top of the division, as we predicted at the beginning of the season. But I mean, they're in a competitive division. NL Central, we've been talking about it all show, but Ellie getting hot is exactly what the Reds need, what baseball needs, and what we need, because we love Ellie De La Cruz.
Was it the Saturday or Monday solar eclipse that he had the good game?
I'm never going to live that down, am I? The Monday one, all right?
Because
that's
fun.
Where our week starts.
Monday shows are always fun. Power rankings, team of the week, and always a bunch of overreactions happening around the game of baseball. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're following or subscribe. Hit that button wherever you're listening right now. Apple, Spotify, wherever. It doesn't matter where you listen. Help us out. Hit that follow, subscribe button. You can also watch everything we do on Spotify, on YouTube, at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We are getting closer and closer to 100,000 followers, and it really helps us out. And that's our goal. And you can help us get there. So thank you all for listening to this Monday episode. Until next time, my friends, remember, find your bat and flip it.